You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. Dan Collins here.
Martin Bruda.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle.
Chris Gilpin. Right.
So you know we've been talking about the possibility that Disney may or may not, this is just total rumor and speculation, but may stop publishing comics through Marvel and just license out the characters and have some other publisher do it.
We're seeing a lot of that currently already.
Right? And like Archie is doing the digests, right? They're doing the digest, like the whole thing. Marvel just gave them some art and said, here, you guys figure it out. Marvel's doing nothing. Like, Archie's doing all the work. And then that Star Wars Adventures is coming out from IDW,
mm-hmm.
right? So everybody's like, oh, okay. So why is IDW getting the Star Wars license mm-hmm. when Marvel's printing the regular Star Wars
comic? Disney's being done by Joe Books.
Not only Joe Books, but IDW still doing Mickey Mouse.
Mm, okay.
So everyone, you know, in the industry, everybody's like, you know what? Now, today, I don't know. These must have been a bunch of guys that voted for Trump because they couldn't add one and one together. They were like, this is fake news. That website's not reliable. This is all garbage. This is all like hate speech. And this is all like, yeah, one guy actually called it hate speech.
Wow.
You know, and don't feed the trolls. It's not true. It's not going to happen. The comic book industry made $1 billion last year, so there's no way Marvel's making less than $500 million. But Disney, you know, they're profitable. Why would Disney close a profitable organization, all this stuff? And I'm like, all right, if you look into it a little bit more, Disney closed their entire interactive video game division that was making money.
Right.
Just closed it. And they're just licensing out the characters. So somebody else is making Disney video games, and Disney just rakes in the money, right? So it's the same thing with the Marvel comics. That $1 billion is gross sales annually across everybody. That's not profit. So even if Marvel's making $2, $3, $4, $5, $6 million, Guardians of the Galaxy made almost $1 billion. They're releasing 3 or 4 Marvel movies a year, making more money in the year from those 4 movies than Marvel's made in the last 50 years. So it's not outside of the realm of possibility. It could happen.
I think it'd be absolute irony if Dark Horse started doing the Star Wars comics.
Well, they used to.
Well, I know, but wouldn't it be interesting if they did it again?
Yeah. Like,
you know?
The other thing is that Marvel used to have, sorry, Disney used to have their Star Wars characters at Dark Horse, like you said. But they had Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and stuff at Boom.
Oh, was it?
Right? Okay. And then when Disney bought Marvel, they took the Star Wars movies away from Dark Horse.
Yep.
And started publishing them through Marvel. And they took all the Disney comics away from Boom because their contract expired and gave it to IDW, not Marvel. So even back then, people were like, that's a really weird move. Like, why are they mm-hmm. doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Some people are like, oh, they just haven't, you know, merged the company in yet to the Disney, you know, stronghold and stuff. And so I don't know. I mean, since then, they've spun Marvel Studios off as its own company. You know, it's no longer the head honchos at Marvel have absolutely nothing to do with the movies anymore. So why not? Why couldn't it happen? I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but in 1986, there was a time where Warner Brothers was talking to Marvel about Marvel producing DC Comics.
I do remember that. I remember that.
They were talking about it as well. So it's totally within the realm of possibility. But for some reason, everybody was jumping up and down.
And you know, with everything that's going on wrong with Marvel Comics right now, like you guys know, I'm a pretty, I love Marvel Comics, but currently I'm only reading three Marvel Comics because things just aren't going well at Marvel. If DC started doing Marvel Comics, they'd probably do a lot better job of it.
It's a mess. Marvel is just a mess on every level.
Yeah, what Marvel's doing right now seems to be like, you know, DC Comics, the new 52 era. You know, nobody's buying it. Everybody's upset. Too much stuff.
Actually, I'd argue that fewer people are buying current Marvel than they did at DC at its worst. When the new 52 was at its worst. Because, like, Harold, right? Harry Sully? He's saying that in Niagara Falls, two of the comic shops there are not even bringing in a single Marvel comic, like this whole lenticular cover nonsense that we can talk about in a few seconds. They're not bringing in a single Marvel comic for the shelves.
Okay.
Like, Worlds Collide doesn't bring Chapter House books in on the shelves because they say they don't sell. Now, they brought in Fantoma and Captain Canuck, so they kind of reneged on that a little. But that's like Chapter House, a small publisher. Mm-hmm. But when two comic shops in Niagara Falls say, we're not bringing in any extra Marvel comics at all, holy moly.
That's a huge sign.
That's massive. And yet these Marvel zombies, and don't get me wrong, somebody who is an adamant fan about Marvel, I love you, you're great. I'm an adamant DC fan, and yet I still read Marvel books too, right? I'm talking about those psychotic whack jobs, the real honest-to-goodness Marvel zombies that, you know, nothing could go wrong. They're going nuts. Oh, this is all fake news, and this is just fear-mongering. There's no way it could happen. And they're just not putting one and one together.
You know, I bet you if we went a little deeper into this whole thing, the Russians are somehow involved.
That's right.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. Can you imagine getting if the Russians got the international license?
Oh.
Well, that'd be awesome. Forget Captain America. Captain Comrade or Comrade, I don't know.
Suddenly,
Comrade Russia, I guess.
You know, suddenly, suddenly the Red Star has his own comic, but that was a DC character.
Yeah.
I'm going to go off on a tangent here because it just popped back in my head. Did that Russian superhero movie ever come out?
Yes, just recently. I just saw something that it's either been announced for DVD release in North America or, I'll have to look it up, but it was like within the last 2 days I saw some news about that.
I'll have to watch that.
What's that about? I don't know.
It's called The Guardians.
Okay.
And it is literally it's not literally, it's filmily. What's a big fancy word for cinema? Cinematography.
It's a Russian superhero.
It's a Russian superhero movie, like The Avengers, but it's all like original creations and stuff. And of course, there's a bear. You know, there's got to be a big, huge bear in a Russian superhero movie.
Of course, there has to be.
I'm sure there's some.
Do you think that shirtless bear hunter will?
That's right.
Bear fighter will get there.
That would be the best.
Do a cameo.
That would be the best.
That'd be so good. That'd be so good.
So yeah, it was like reams and reams and reams of discussions. And the best part is, this is on a Facebook forum called Comic Book Historians. So you would think that people would understand a little bit about comic book history. You're not talking to just the slabbers and stuff like this. No offense, man. But you'd think you'd be talking to somebody who knew a little bit about history, right? Like, I'm like, you know, the other thing you got to remember is because of wartime and all that sort of stuff, superhero comics almost died altogether in the late 50s, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was some little guy in New York City with his buddy that decided to put out a comic book called Fantastic Four Number One because they had nothing left to lose, and that turned the industry right around. There's no reason why there can't be something like that that happens in the next half year, year, month that totally changes the industry. But, I mean, you know, they didn't have video games to
compete with.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have, like,
DVD, Netflix.
Disney is not Warner Brothers. Disney is a completely different entity. Disney is all about licensing, and it's all about massive profits. If you're a division of Disney and you're making $1 million a year profit, some people are like, hey, why would they close Marvel if they're making $1 million a year? It's still profitable. Not profitable enough for Disney. No. Disney doesn't measure profits. They measure growth per quarter. How much more did you make for us this quarter? Not how much did you make for us this quarter. How much more did you make? So if the movies are making more than Marvel did in 30, 40, 50 years total, why would they keep it around? Mm-hmm. Close it all down, let everybody go, and then just license out the characters. Now, if you were a licensee of the Marvel comics, you'd have to be stupid not to hire some of the talent that was there.
Yeah.
You know, you can pick and choose and get the best guys and stuff. So I'm not worried about the industry per se, because I'm sure somebody will be publishing Amazing Spider-Man if this happened.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the real fans of Spider-Man would give the book a chance. You know, now maybe some of these Marvel zombies are like, I'm not buying another Marvel comic again because it's not made by Marvel and Stan's soapbox and blah, 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 blah. Maybe they'll have an aneurysm and fall down right there in the local comic shop. I don't know. Who am I going to pirate my comic books from now?
But the two digests that are out, do they have the Marvel logo?
Yeah, they
yeah.
do.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, it's literally, it says Marvel logo on it. I haven't read the, how do you pronounce it? The indices? The little copyright stuff that they have at the bottom? Yeah. To find out if it says Archie Publications. But yeah, it's got the Marvel logo on it. It doesn't say Archie anywhere.
Right.
Like, realistically, who's writing Amazing Spider-Man right now? Dan Slott still?
Dan Slott's still doing
it. So yeah. If Dan Slott got hired by... I'm not going to say DC because I know there's this big, massive Marvel versus DC thing that I don't understand. Let's say Boom gets the license and Dan Slott gets hired by Boom to write Amazing Spider-Man. Somebody who's a Dan Slott fan and somebody who's a Spider-Man fan, tell me they're not going to give it a try?
I'd probably still read it.
Why wouldn't they?
Although I'm not currently buying the Dan Slott book.
Like, but if the current writer is there, you would expect the product will be as good as what you're reading. Exactly. If you're happy with it, you picked a book that, you know, a lot of people are happy with.
Exactly. And, you know, you'll have all this talent around that's available to hire. Maybe it'll be bad for the talent because Boom can't afford the same, you know, page rate that Marvel did or whatever. But at least, you know, some of them will still have jobs and stuff like this. But, yeah, I don't see it as that far-fetched of a possibility as everybody was making sound on the Facebook.
Well, the fact that you first brought this idea up with me in the car one night when we were driving to CBA.
As soon as I saw that Star Wars Adventures.
Yeah, and you brought this up, and that was, 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, give or take,
you
roughly.
First mentioned this to me, and even then, it made complete sense to me. I know, of course, I was like, well, it probably won't happen, but sure, why not? Like, logically, it makes sense.
Yeah.
As an idea, it makes sense.
I think that's why it warrants discussion, because it's not as far-fetched of an idea as people think.
No.
It really isn't. Anybody who knows Disney as a corporation and has a bit of an economics background and can tell the difference between gross sales and profitability. Sorry, I'm making faces at the microphone because this one guy just drove me nuts on the book face, not understanding the difference between gross and net.
Like, you know what we should do? Well, we should track him down and, like, egg his house.
Look at Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to start the whole debate, but those expanded universe books were canon. They were what happened after Return of the Jedi. That was our heroes, their families, their stories. It was all canon until Disney came along and said, no, it's not.
Well, not only did they do that.
Not only did the cojones you have to say to how many fans who've read these books and loved them saying, oh, by the way, those don't mean squat.
Not only did they kill the canon, like the history, that's the artistic part of things, but from the financial part of things, not another book came out. They crushed the whole thing and they just ended it, and everyone's like, well, if the books were making them profit, why'd they end it? Because it's not in their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Like, I know they publish one or two now, but they're not coming out anywhere near the volume that they did.
There was some amazing stories. And Disney just came along, big old the Mighty Mouse, and just, nope, gone.
Because they don't care.
They don't care.
The only thing they care about is suing your pants off if you try to make a Mickey Mouse t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I think it's possible. Now, further to that, they were saying that, let's say this does happen. And this one article went a little bit further to say that this could possibly, if Marvel decides not to license the characters out and just keeps going with the movies, right? Some people were like, well, the comic books are like an idea house for the movies, and they can test different concepts and stuff. And if the storyline's popular in the comic, then we can make a movie about it. My argument right away is there's 75 years of stories that they can mine. How many movies can they make based on the entire history of Marvel?
Well, let me throw this out there. When I was talking to that fella, we were at TCAF, and I was talking to he currently draws Southern Bastards.
Jason Latour.
Jason Latour. Thank you. And I said to Jason, I said, you know, and he was a co-creator of Spider-Gwen. And I said to him, I said, you know what? I would love to see more than not a Miles Morales film is I would have loved to have seen a Spider-Gwen film. You know, what a great idea. And he said to me, you know what? Like, we're closer to that than you think. I can't get into detail, but I really think you're going to get your wish soon. And which means that somewhere either on television, as a web series, as a film, or as Spider-Gwen is definitely in the works of being coming to film. That's a concept that's, what, 2-3 years old? You know, and that was because somebody wrote a story in what was supposed to be a one-off comic, Tales of the Spider-Verse. It was supposed to be a little story, little idea, not supposed to be anything. And it just went, and it went so heavy that now they're thinking about bringing that to screen. And that's been in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So it can, what I'm saying, it's not always going to happen because they can mine the 75 years of history, but it can happen.
Yeah, no doubt about it, could, but like, let's say that didn't happen. Let's say Spider-Gwen didn't catch on. There's lots of stuff for them to mine. There's lots of stuff, material. They could make, you know, they're making 4 movies a year. How many movies could they make based on that 75 years of storyline?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not like Disney doesn't make original movies that knock it out of the park either. They could make something completely different that's not related to the comic books with the same comic book characters.
Man, you know what I'm waiting for is a Brother Voodoo movie. Who would you guys get to play Brother Voodoo? I'm thinking Leonardo DiCaprio.
There you go.
No.
Let's not go there.
I don't think so. I think Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy? Okay.
Yeah, he's got a little bit more of that grizzled look.
Yeah, I guess.
But, sorry, we kind of got a little sidetracked there. So they were talking about, let's say this kills floppy monthly $3.99 comics altogether. What would happen then? So my question to you guys is, if they got rid of your monthly paper comic book and switched to sort of more of the European style graphic novels and trade paperbacks all the time, would you still be interested?
It depends what it is. It would depend on the character and the creators. They put out a Man-Thing book and it's not written by Ralph Stein, I'll probably buy it.
Exactly.
You know, because I love Man-Thing. They put out a Squirrel Girl book. They put out Spider-Gwen. Even if, like, I had to wait 6 months for an original Spider-Gwen graphic novel, boom, I'd lay my money down. And I don't care if Boom's doing it or Xenoscope's doing it or DC's doing it or, you know, Valiant. I don't care. I'd buy it. I'd still buy it. Sure.
Like, you were talking about those Star Wars novels, right?
Yeah.
They came out not on a monthly basis, and there was usually like 3 books in an arc. I know the Rogue Squadron one was a little bit bigger, but we waited months and months. But the one thing, this is one of the reasons why I dropped Walking Dead, because I was reading it in trade paperback, and I had to wait 6 months for the next 6 issues. And there's that huge 6-month gap, and I really felt that I missed out on that serialized storytelling that's going on in Walking Dead.
It's very important.
So I'm not sure if that type of storytelling would be able to last if everybody switched to graphic novels. But you could easily do like a 6-issue, like the Mr. Miracle's a 12-issue run. They could have easily published that out in 2 trade paperbacks.
Sure.
Right? Superman, just make it 6-issue arc. Here you go. Like, sure, you can have some stuff that goes over, but not everything. Like, I don't know if Luann would work as... Like, because it's a serialized storytelling, right? Like, every day it adds to a little bit. Yeah. If all of a sudden you had to wait 6 months for the next, you know, 6 weeks of strips, I feel like you'd lose something.
You'd probably lose something.
It's like a soap opera breaking for, like, let's say Another World or Ryan's Hope. That's how old I am. I'm going old school. Let's say Days of Our Lives had the same publishing schedule or same release schedule as Doctor Who. Where you go like a year and a half without an episode.
But even look at, like, I feel like Doctor Who has dropped in popularity quite a bit from having a huge gap and not having product even once a year now.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally believe that. Like, that whole Capaldi drop-off, I know we're kind of not, we're going Whovian instead of comic books, but it's related, darn it. That whole drop-off with Capaldi, I think that delay had a lot to do with that.
I mean, it's hard to say with Capaldi just because, you know, so many people didn't like his doctor to start, even though I think all of us were kind of fans.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even get me started on that. You know who didn't like his Doctor? Matt Smith fans didn't like his Doctor, because if you're a Matt Smith fan, you don't understand Doctor Who.
You know what I love about you, Sam? You're so level-headed and unopinionated.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I love Matt Smith.
And I love you, Chris.
And he's my Doctor.
There you go.
I like Matt Smith fine.
Do you like Doctor? Do you like Peter Capaldi?
I thought Capaldi was last season was awesome.
All right.
Every single episode was awesome.
That's awesome. And
I don't want him to go.
And it's so refreshing to hear Chris talk like this. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for putting back my
faith in humanity.
Now
all we gotta do is get Sam to watch an episode of Riverdale, and we'll all be a close knit community. We'll all sing Kumbaya.
No. Have I told the story yet about the guy? Yes. Okay.
I think twice, actually.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's story about the guy who was trying to be your friend.
Yeah.
In the comic store. Yeah.
Let's carry on.
Meeting people and getting autographs is not really a high priority for Fan Expo, but if I can meet Matt Smith, because I've already met Karen Gillan, so Matt Smith's my priority. If I can, I can. If I can't, I can't. But.
Yeah.
But it's only because that's when I started watching it. Fair enough.
And so. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry if I said something ignorant. All right.
Because fezzes are cool. Sort of.
But anyways, to get back on the topic of the weight killing the product, that's what we were talking about if we rewind. You know, because, yeah, like Doctor Who, I found it really hard to get into the past, like, the season before this one and this one, because the wait in between, I just stopped kind of caring.
It was a big wait.
And, you know, you need that reminder to keep you excited. Same as like Game of Thrones, though. Like, I, you know, not to bring up Game of Thrones again, but like, I actually have not watched a single episode this season so far, just because the wait was so long that I kind of lost interest.
You know what? I agree with you. To a certain extent. I watched the first episode, and I really didn't care. And I watched the second episode, and I still didn't care. And then I actually was like 2 weeks behind on the next two, because that's how little I cared. But then last night, I stayed up to watch the third episode. Oh my God, did I suddenly care. And I can't wait to watch the fourth one. So, Dan, it does get better.
But if you love the product, you'll wait. Right?
Well, the other thing is frustrating. The other thing is with your episodic TV, you're just getting those 8 1-hour episodes.
Yeah.
What if the wait was how it was, but you got like a 2.5-hour movie?
Like,
each
I guess
episode.
That's now we're talking Netflix releasing a season at a time that you can
like
watch
Sherlock
as fast
Holmes.
As you want.
Yeah, because that's what we're talking about with the graphic novel, right? You wouldn't get 20 pages of story every 6 months. You'd get 120 pages of story. Right?
Yeah.
You'd get an entire arc. So would
sustain
you?
If we go back to comics, Jupiter's Legacy, like there was a wait, right?
Yeah.
But once I saw that it was finally coming out, I was excited because I wanted to read it, right? If the current Amazing Spider-Man, if I was actually reading it, had a 3-month wait for the next issue, I wouldn't really care.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really interested. See, like, you have to like the product to be able to.
Well, that's the other thing. Hopefully it means Marvel stops producing 100 piece of junk issues a month, you know, and focuses on 10 quality issues.
That's a great point. And that's one of the reasons that I think that I'm pulling away from Marvel right now was because of sort of like the premature deaths of Kingpin and the Wasp, two books I really enjoyed that they didn't take enough time to cultivate. You know, because they're so busy trying to find that next Deadpool kills in the Marvel Universe, whatever that might be. There's this thing, and we talk about it in the publishing world. This is something that me as a writer and working for a publication talk about, my editors talk about, and it's when we talk about our competitors. And excuse some language, but we call it throwing shit on a wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Marvel's trying to do. But what they're finding is they're throwing so much shit against the wall, nothing is sticking.
Yeah,
and that's what's happening.
Like they were saying at that big huge retailer summit that they had, that Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe miniseries that got turned into a trade paperback is Marvel's version of Watchmen. It is the most purchased to this day still trade paperback that they sell. They sell more copies of that than they do current trade paperbacks.
Aren't they publishing, or they announced that they're going to do a...
They're going to do a sequel because they're hoping to get that graphic novel, that trade paperback sale.
Right. Oh, see, and that's what I'm saying. And nothing's sticking for Marvel right now. Nothing is. And I'm saying that as someone who enjoys Marvel comics. Like, I'm currently buying three. That is probably the least amount of Marvel books that I've bought in a decade. It will go up to four because I'm probably going to pick up Marvel 2 and 1 because I'm a huge fan of the thing. And I'm a huge fan of the original Marvel 2 and 1. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably pick that up. But nothing, yeah, it's just... it's just not working, and I don't know.
Because so are you ready to chat about that?
Well, yeah, let's talk about this
because that segues right into it.
Well, yeah, so you've got Secret Empire going on right now.
Yep,
which is in issue 7 or 8 or whatever, still going, and then they start these Generation comics,
right?
Which
now these are just one shots, right?
These are one shots. So I picked up the Jean Grey Phoenix one today because I'm a huge X-Men fan, so yep. I wanted to see Phoenix again. But
I haven't read this, but I picked it up because I'm currently reading the Jean Grey book and enjoying it. And I might say I am enjoying the Jean Grey.
And she does refer to that, but it's like, you know, young Jean Grey starts at the beginning going, "How did I get here? I don't know where I am. I was here, but now I'm on this place." And it's like, who wrote that? Right, how do you start? And it's never explained why all of a sudden she's on this beach where who knows where. Oh, and there's Jean Grey sunning herself in a tiny black bikini. And of course, they hook up because they know each other. Oh, she knows. Well, you know, they're the same person, right? And the art, the art was fine. The art was good. I like the art. It was a fun story, but pointless.
It just seems like it was like a filler or something.
Yeah. Like, it's not this, hey, look at our big event coming up. We're doing this Generations. It's pointless.
Like, it literally, to me, I haven't read it myself, so I'm a bit of a hypocrite to comment, but it seems to me like it was, hey, everybody's whining on the interwebs that we're not doing this legacy thing, so let's give them something to shut them up until we get and back on the track.
You know, the whole starting about, where am I? How did I get here? I don't know. Oh, let's go to the beach. Oh, there's Jean Grey from the future. I know her. It's like, what? And then they go on an adventure together. It's just like, what is this?
Can I take it back, though, for a moment and talk about something that I think Marvel's doing right now?
Sure.
All right. As we most comic book fans know right now, both Marvel and DC are celebrating the 100th anniversary of Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
The 100th birthday of Jack Kirby. And DC's put out a number of specials featuring other artists doing some of Kirby's DC characters. I've read one and it was okay. I'm probably going to buy them all because they're kind of fun. But they're like $4.99 books, okay, and they're okay. What I'm really a big fan of is what Marvel's doing is it is putting out these series of True Believer books, which is reprinting some of Jack Kirby's most classic stories. And the reason I like this, the Canadian dollar, they come in at $1.25.
Yeah.
For $1.25, you can read some great original Jack Kirby stories. And it's the kind of stuff that you can also give to kids. Say, hey, man, this is what, you know, the history of comics is. So far, I picked up Avengers number 4, Black Panther book. And this week, which was really fun, is... What were these? It was the monster stories. They were Tales to Astonish?
Not just. There was a bunch of them, but Tales to Astonish. Yeah, I think that was originally a Tales to Astonish story.
Yeah, basically, it's a reprint of two Tales of Astonish stories, and it's featuring the first appearance of the character Groot, who, of course, is now famous for Guardians of the Galaxy. And there's a little introduction to it, too. Do you think Jack, where the guy, I don't know who wrote it, but says, surely Jack Kirby could have never imagined that Groot would become... You know, in such big budget films.
This was part of that whole Marvel monster thing where, you know, Stan Lee kind of mined those monster stories for a lot of his characters. Mm-hmm. Like, there's like a prototype Hulk. This is kind of like a prototype Groot. Because even though it looks like a little closer than some of those other prototypes.
It's funny you say that because the second story in this Groot book is the prototype Hulk story.
There you go.
Because the original Groot story is so short. yeah. that they had to get a second feature. But the prototype Hulk story was bigger. And this is for $1.25. You can get these great Kirby stories. And as much as I'm interested in what DC's doing over for Kirby with the $4.99 yeah. books, this is amazing value. And it's really a beautiful, loving tribute to Kirby's legacy. And as I said, it's the kind of stuff that's so cheap and disposable enough that you can take, you can add $1.25 to your comic budget.
Yeah.
And you're not even going to notice. And it's so, like, I really enjoyed, I hadn't read Avengers number 4 since I was a little kid. Right. For people out there who don't know, Avengers number 4 is the reintroduction of Captain America. And for $1.25 to yeah. get that story and have fun with it, it's great. And they're publishing, I think, 2 every week for the next month. And yeah. This is something Marvel's doing right.
So this, I mean, to clarify, there are other true believers. Like,
yeah, that's yeah. what I was about to.
New Mutants 98, like, there's all the big keys there.
Like, yes. like, as the resident DC guy, I'm going to poo-poo on your enthusiasm for Marvel here a little bit, because
Marty on Marvel.
Ta-da! Because as Chris mentioned, this true believers series that this was part of kind of came out beforehand, and I get this. The Kirby sticker that they slapped on top, it yeah. feels a little like a knee-jerk reaction to what DC had planned.
Perhaps.
Like, maybe this wasn't really what they were thinking of True Believer, but then DC announced, hey, we're going to do this whole Jack Kirby thing, and somebody went, oh yeah, Jack Kirby.
That guy.
He's that guy that Stan Lee wouldn't give any credit to. Maybe we should.
Yeah, well.
Maybe. But yeah, like you said, the price point's fantastic.
And I'm buying all the DC ones, too.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? I'm doing both. I'm going
to... Like, it'll cost you more than $1.25 to find this story elsewhere.
Oh, exactly. Like, yeah. I'll probably buy... I'm not buying all these True Believers, but here's the thing. I'm buying all the DC ones, but I'm enjoying these a lot more. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm enjoying these Kirby books. I think it's a great tribute to the king. And for let's face it, Jack Kirby is the most influential artist in the history of comics. If you can think of one more...
I would argue writer as well.
Yes, you could definitely
Would, because the whole Marvel style, Jack did quite a bit of scripting on his books, too. And I'm a Bill Finger, Jack Kirby kind of guy. Yeah. You know, I just think that the two of them should get more credit.
But back in the 70s, where some guy went to visit Jack Kirby, and he was wallpapering his... He had a leak in his studio, and he was actually plugging the leak up by pasting original artwork over the on the roof over this leak to keep the water out.
Can you imagine what a piece of original Kirby art like that would fetch today?
You know, like, all of a sudden there's like an original artwork from like Fantastic Four number 3, you know.
But was it Van Gogh like that too? Nobody gave
he only sold one painting in his lifetime.
There you go. And then afterwards everyone's like, he's a genius.
Well, I think Kirby lived long enough to
I hope so to get that.
Because I remember when Jack Kirby died. I mean, I was reading comics by that point. I think people, even by the 70s, like, well, when DC got Kirby for a second time, because he worked at... If I understand correctly by some stuff I read on Wikipedia this week, Kirby started with Timely, which was Marvel.
Yeah.
And then he went over to... And then DC, which was National Publications, bought him... Somehow gave him more money, and he went out and he did Black... he did Boy Commandos. He did The Guardian and the Newsboy Legion. And he did with a Green Arrow.
Yeah, he did a few Green Arrow issues.
And then somehow...
Well, stories. Green Arrow stories in one of the other books.
Yeah, and then he did another character like Dr. Fate or something like that.
Something like that.
And then Timely got him back in the 50s. And then, of course, he did the whole Marvel age. And then there was a break between him and Stan, and DC got him back in the 70s.
Yeah, he was mad that Stan wasn't giving him as much credit as he should, so he decided to go to DC.
But do you remember those trade ads that came out where it was like, the king is back at DC, and like they made a big deal out of him coming back. So even by 1970, Kirby was already a big deal.
I hope so.
You know, and I think because DC really, I think one of the weirdest thing Kirby did, Jack Kirby did some weird stuff. You remember when he brought like Don Rickles into Jimmy Olsen?
Yeah.
That was weird. And of course, my favorite Jack Kirby creation is the Black Racer, who's getting his own special this month. The Black Racer is a paired, kind of a takeoff on Silver Surfer. And it's, get this, it's Death. He's basically the Grim Reaper, and he's a black guy, obviously because his name's Black Razor, and he has a red knight's helmet, and he goes through time and space intergalactically, taking souls on a pair of skis. On skis.
He's the Grim Reaper on skis.
Poles? And he has poles? Yep.
You've never seen this, Chris?
No.
Oh my goodness. Oh my god. And basically what it is, he's a Vietnam soldier who's in a coma.
Oh.
Right? And but his spirit is now the spirit of death, and he's on friggin', he's skiing through the universe, taking souls and taking names, you know? So yeah, there's a Black Racer special coming out. I've always loved Black Racer. It's just so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved him. He's part of the New Gods, and I'm looking forward to that one.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I did read Calexit.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite what I thought it was, because you didn't give away that much of the story. Yeah. There's still some stuff that I'm like going like, okay, what is happening here?
Well, I really liked DMZ when it came out.
Yeah.
So I got that vibe from it. The art, the story, the same thing. I got the same kind of a vibe as like it's like it almost like it's a. I know it's not necessarily the same creators, but almost like it was like a spiritual sequel to DMZ.
Which reminds me, this is for you, Dan.
Thank you.
That is a copy of Fantoma from, is that how you pronounce that? Fantoma from Chapter House, which something I read this weekend and absolutely loved.
Yeah.
So? Well, I read it this weekend.
No, you got to tell me. This is the first time that we've convinced you to try a Chapter House book. And I need to know.
Hello, Die Kitty Die.
Die Kitty Die is a bit different. You would have bought Die Kitty Die if it was published by Blue Water.
Yeah, by sure Raven Gregory.
Yeah.
I like Raven Gregory. I'm a huge Raven Gregory fan.
Yeah, just wait till he mails you something.
Yeah, well, that'll never happen.
Okay, but seriously, Fantoma, the Sam Tweedle review.
Now, I looked up the character. I didn't realize reading it that it was a legacy character, that it was a character from the Canadian Whites. It wasn't until this weekend I was in Ottawa, or last weekend I was in Ottawa. That's why I wasn't at the show. And I had breakfast with Ron Sutton and Janet Hetherington, who are both popular comic book artists that people know from the convention circuit. Ron is currently working on something for the Edgar Rice Burroughs website. And he's also done stuff like the Elvira comic and Satan's... What was that guy? Lucifer's Sword. Janet Hetherington does a lot of the stuff with Hope Nicholson and her books, and she's also a film writer. But it was them who actually pointed out that this was a Canadian White. So I looked up the character. This book has nothing to do with the original character. Don't care. The art was interesting. It wasn't my favorite, but it worked for the book. But for me, it was the story. And it was literally... Basically, what it's about is this teenage girl who loses her twins, it was half-sisters, and her half-sisters go missing, and she is now hunting down who took her sisters, and of course there's a first story arc, and she doesn't find them at the end, but you know, she busts some bad guys doing it, and basically I don't really know this, I haven't revealed who this, but she takes on this Fantoma.
Well, it looks like the guys that she's chasing, spoilers, killer.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember. Yeah, threw right. over a bridge or something? Or I can't remember what exactly off the top of my head. Brain farting here, but they kill her and she comes back as this vengeful spirit.
Exactly the kind of stuff I love in so many ways. I love horror comics. Look, I was saying earlier today, I'm known as the Archie guy. Look at my pile of comics. It's all horror and crime. And that's always what I seem to be buying. And I also love stories about female characters. I love stories with, about teenage girls for whatever reason. I've been made fun of that a lot, but put a female character as your heroine, I usually like it.
All of us are moving away from our mics.
You're going to edit that one out right there, Martin.
It's the way it is, and it has nothing to do with a sexual preference.
No,
it's not good. A pedophile. But what I'm saying is that those seem to be characters that I like to read for whatever reason. Fantoma, really, it captured me, and I'm really glad that I took a chance on it.
So you like horror comics?
Love horror comics.
And you like Archie comics?
Love Archie comics.
Afterlife with Archie.
No. Let me explain that, Chris. It's a yin and a yang.
Yeah.
It's the dark and it's the light.
Right.
But after reading
horror and crime comics, I need to relieve that tension by having something that's like, and that's where I go to
Riverdale. So you don't combine the two.
No, you don't combine the two. That's why I read Luann. That's why I read right. Swing with Scooter and all that stuff, because it you know, you can't digest, like, I need to have the light along with my
right.
my darkness.
And never okay? The two shall meet.
The well, two shall not meet.
That'd be like making like X-Men babies or you know, little Superman. They, like, it just doesn't, in that context, it doesn't work. I just looked at Dan as Little Aurora Man, but Little Aurora Man actually works great.
Do you get my theory on that?
Yes,
because I do. Want, so to go to a place, Riverdale to me is a safe, it's a safe place. It's a safe place where I can hang out with friends that I grew up with, okay? And have a couple of laughs and go to Pops and eat some cheeseburgers.
And have a choco shake.
And look at the girls and do all that stuff. I don't want a bloody zombie apocalypse where my friends are all getting eaten. That's not why I go that. That's why I write, go. That's why I go to Image. Okay, yeah. You now, know what I mean.
Mind you, we liked the Archie and Sharknado though,
because
it was a humoristic, slapsticky approach.
Hated the Predator
book. I was gonna say, don't forget the Predator.
I hated the Predator book. Hated it with a real, like, I own it.
Yeah.
And my friend Fernando Ruiz drew it, but. Oh my god, I hated it. It was a snuff book. There was that cheap cat fight between Betty and Veronica. And then there was that weird pervy thing with Dilton, which Fernando told me that they actually edited a lot. It was supposed to get a lot more creepier and pervy.
Well, who wrote that?
I don't remember who wrote it. It wasn't one of the regular Archie writers. Predator, Archie versus Predator is one of the best-selling Archie books in the last couple years. But here's the thing. People who don't read Archie...
Right.
Just get off on watching them get killed. They just think, oh, this is so cool. Let's They're not the people who buy this crap. They're not the Archie fans. They're the people that, as I said, like, it's a sick perversion. You know, I want to watch Archie and his friends get slaughtered and murdered and raped and all that stuff. And that's what we want because we're crazy. Because that's so cool. You know, and so to me it's offensive because these are my friends. I grew up with these people. These you know, and it's where I go. It's a safe space I go for the light.
But Archie meets Punisher was alright.
No, because it was hilarious, and nobody got killed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. Like that, it was. You know what I mean. So yeah, that's okay.
I'd love to see Smurfs versus Punisher or Smurfs versus. The one zombie apocalypse.
One book I'm really looking
for. Man, I don't like Smurfs.
One book I'm really looking for right now, and it was announced recently, is the Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy meet Betty and Veronica, which is being done, and Paul Dini's writing it. And Paul Dini is one of my absolute favorite.
So that means you know for a fact it's going to be like the Punisher one. It's going to be treated as a fun satire,
exactly.
Goofy. It's and not going to be something dumb.
I do not think at any point is Betty and Veronica going to be murdered.
Like, there's not going to be a half-dead beaver as the narrator.
It's kind of funny stuff, absolutely. Oh,
man. I give up.
That's pretty funny. You know, I think Harley Quinn is such a funny, goofy book. I don't read it anymore because of my budget restrictions, but... You know, it's fun stuff. You know, it's the Harley Quinn book is that light that I talk about. And now because Archie, well, your pal Archie's bringing that light back, which is great. But, you know, it's harder to find it. So I go to stuff like Die Kitty Die and Luann because I need that in my comic reading as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Hence the reason why you tried Frozen.
It is the reason I tried Frozen, and how did that work out for me?
Well, that wasn't your fault. You were disappointed by the material, but
oh my god, I mean,
that's exactly what you were looking for.
I felt like I was punched right in the face,
and that's why, because you were looking for that lighthearted, fun but not banal, stupid escapism, and instead you got this drivelish crud that was just dumb.
God. Why did you bring that back?
Why don't kids read comic books anymore? Because you're not making good ones.
Well, they are making good ones. Look at
some of them, but not all.
You know what? Take a look. Dan, jump in on here. Look at DC's kids line. It's very clever, and it's very, very, very fun. Or who's your buddy there in Chicago? Art Balzac?
Art Baltazar.
Yeah. Like, his stuff, it's kids comics, and it's so clever. It's so fun.
Aw, yeah, comics.
Yeah, so DC's kids line is really good. You know, the Scooby-Doo stuff. Like, I think, what are they doing, a Scooby-Doo team-up with the Challengers of the Unknown?
Yeah.
It's coming out, and there's a Scooby-Doo team-up with Jonah Hex? Like, hello?
Which was actually, I read that one, it was funny.
Oh, is it out now?
Yeah, it came out last month or the month before.
Oh, I missed it.
I
bought the Scooby-Doo Green Lantern Green Arrow one. I had a few chuckles in that one, too.
I don't have that one.
there was a few chuckles in
that. The last one I picked up was Scooby-Doo, it was Scooby-Doo Zatanna, but it had it had Dr. Fate and the Spectre and Dr. 13, Dr. Occult, Black Alice was in it. Like, it was all the mystical characters, and it was it was just a scream. It was so funny.
That one was actually kind of like the worst story.
Really?
Because there was no story to it.
Clarion.
The whole story was that.
Showed up in it?
But the whole story was that Zatanna's father's missing, and so they just go to every magical character in the DC universe saying, "Is he here? No. Okay."
But you know what it was?
Like, it was kind of, it was also, like, seriously, that's what it was.
Put it into perspective, it was a parody on the original Zatanna storyline from, it was the first DC crossover ever, was Zatanna was looking for Zatara because he was missing. And she goes through, if I remember correctly, Hawkman, Adam, Elongated Man, and Green Lantern. And then eventually the Justice League, they all come together and they form. So it was kind of a parody on that, or takeoff on that original storyline. So, I love that stuff. I'm saying, it's the good stuff's out there. It's just, you gotta get through the crud. Like, that Harvey Hits that came out recently was a lot of fun. So,
that's why originally I picked, two reasons why I started reading The New Champions.
Mm-hmm.
Is one, because it was lighter and it made me laugh and stuff like that. Yeah. But it was also me really getting to know all these young kid characters that I don't really know.
Mm.
Right? Miles Morales, Kid Nova, or whatever his name is, Amadeus Cho, Vision's
Marvel.
Daughter, yeah. Miss Marvel, yeah. Right?
I like that Nova kid. I used to read his book.
Yeah.
And that's one of those titles that got shut down and restarted and shut down and restarted and shut down and restarted with new number ones, but it was pretty good for a while. What's his name? Humphreys. Sam Humphreys? Is he the guy who wrote it? He's at DC now, isn't he?
I don't know.
Oh.
The only thing I know about Nova is, as far as I knew, he was Ryder. What's his name? Richard Ryder. But, everything changes, right?
Well, that whole Annihilation thing, there's a storyline where Richard Ryder sacrifices himself and this other guy takes over. And this kid is that Nova's son.
Oh.
And he puts on his dad's helmet.
All right.
Okay. And he was actually a more elite version of the Nova Corps than Richard Ryder. That's why it's a black helmet.
Oh, okay.
And in the comics, there was a little brief storyline where his dad came back, turned out not to be his dad, and they went to try to find Richard Ryder because there's apparently he's still alive. And that's kind of where I dropped it, so I don't know where that went.
Richard Ryder's my real dad.
Anything else in your pile?
That's
there that
not
you
what
want to
Neil
talk
Sedaka
to?
Said.
You know what? We don't have a lot of time, but Marty, you talk about this. You start with this.
I'm still trying to look up Sam Humphreys. I guess we're done with that. Mr. Miracle number one from DC Comics.
Let's talk about Kirby.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Oh my God, yeah.
So yeah, Kirby and all that stuff, Mr. Miracle from the 70s and Fourth World, all this stuff. But Mr. Miracle is also in the
Justice League.
Wahaha Justice League. Got his own spinoff book for a while there, so it was a regular series for a while. So you got to know Big Barda, his wife, and Oberon, his sidekick and stuff, and then that kind of ended. This book comes out, and Sam and I got burnt pretty bad by the Man Thing.
Yeah.
We liked the Man Thing. There was a lot of nostalgia there. The book didn't deliver what we wanted it. Some people who like R.L. Stine and Goosebumps liked it. That's fine. That's not a problem. We didn't like it because it wasn't what we were expecting. We get this book. Spoilers. 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 Turn off the radio. Guy commits suicide. Page 2. Like, what? What?
Mr. Miracle?
Miracle attempts to attempt suicide in the second page of the book.
Like, it starts off with him being so depressed that he tried to kill himself.
He slits his wrists. And it's a 12-issue miniseries. And in page 2, Mr. Miracle, a character we've loved our whole lives, slits his wrist.
So realistically, it's not a spoiler, kind of, sort of, because it's sort of setting up the mood for the whole story.
For this whole
story. There's this one minor, teeny tiny little panel Barda's bringing him back from the hospital, and it's like everybody called to see whether you're okay, and he says, yeah, I saw Clark hanging out the window all night. So Superman literally stood, well, flew outside the window watching over this guy so he doesn't try anything else, because that's how much he cares about the character. Like, yeah, it's just little stuff like that that they just kept throwing into the book. You
know, and they have, and this one moment they have him on a weird tee. I couldn't figure out if it was in his own head.
Yeah, that's in
or
his head.
If it was,
he's hallucinating, okay, a bit.
Hallucinating, and he's being interviewed, and it's like, why did you do it? And his reason for it is so, it's weird, but it also makes sense for the character.
Yeah.
But he says, he acknowledges to Barda, something's wrong with me right now. Something's wrong. I can't figure it. But also, we have how Orion shows up.
Oh, that is the best!
Orion's reaction to it. Highfather's reaction to it. And, oh my god, I'm not going to spoil this, but somebody from the Mr. Miracle family has died off-panel. And when you find out what happened,
it's gut-wrenching.
It I felt like I was punched in the throat. Not punched in the face, that's what Frozen did to me. Punched in the throat. It's a little more emotional.
Like, this is literally, if you're a massive DC fan, this is literally legacy.
Yeah.
They took everything about the character and all his surrounding cast, and they all act exactly like you would expect Superman to watch over a friend of his that committed suicide so that he doesn't do it again. Yeah. Right?
That's going down a point every time you wait, yeah, like that. I'm just,
it's
saying,
more it's than lying, a point. So
it, he just reads it.
It's
comic in the mouth.
It's now, in his mouth. Now,
does he make 13 tapes and send them out to the people?
No, he doesn't cause... do that.
No,
because it sounds a little bit like that.
Not at all.
No, okay.
It's great. It's great. Tom King, the guy who's knocking out of the park on Batman right now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
12-issue series. I don't know if you're going to love it as much as Sam and I did if you don't have that nostalgic pull to Mr. Miracle, but it's a great crime story like Sam likes that I think you could get into even if you don't have that draw.
Yeah. And also, for people who don't... Do you think people who don't know Mr. Miracle could read this and jump right in, or do you think they have to have that back history with the
There's character? I think there's a lot in there you'd miss. Like, you would miss the Highfather thing. You'd definitely miss the Orion thing if, yeah, you didn't know how Orion
Oh my god, Barda's response to Orion was like, ah!
Exactly. So, yeah, it's a bit tough if you're not familiar with the characters.
Yeah.
So I can see that being a problem, but man, did it knock it out of the park for me.
Yeah, it was incredible. Definitely the book of the week.
I might actually pick that up.
And definitely. That's all the time we've got.
So. It is.
All right.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?